You know, with the marathon going on, I hadn't had as much time to devote to Sunday school this morning as what I'd like. But we'll find out what the Lord, maybe Lord will give us something here and for our hearts. I think after we read our text this morning, you'll agree with Brother Hall that it's good to be saved. Amen. And that God has shown mercy to us. And we're in Psalm number 53 this morning. Psalm 53. We're moving right along in the book of Psalms. I don't remember exactly when it was we started in Psalms, but I'd say we're probably at least in our third year, I think. Getting close to it, if not closing out the second year in the book of Psalms. And we're looking this morning at Psalm number 53, okay? And I want to read all six verses, read it in its entirety for you this morning. It says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God." Let me just say on verse 1 there, "There is none that doeth good." I'm glad that salvation does not depend upon our good works and what we do, but it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And it does not depend upon how good you are. If it did, my friend, we'd all be in hell today. For the Bible has declared there is none good, no, not one. And he said in verse 3, "Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." He reiterates that the second time, so apparently it must have some emphasis, or he wanted to put some emphasis on that statement and for you and I today. It says in verse number 4, "Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Let's bow our heads to pray just for a minute, and we'll try to get right into the lesson this morning. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school hour. I pray now that you'll open up the Word of God to us and help our hearts. God, that you'll establish us in faith, root us and ground us in the love of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll reveal to us today the person, the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, and help us to rightly divide this Scripture, that it might be a blessing to your people, and we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, fellas, I don't know how much you've kept up on the book of Psalms, but this is the second time that this psalm has been written down. In fact, David penned this same psalm in its entirety in Psalm number 14, with the exceptions of just one phrase in verse number 5 that he seemed to change. And I'm using many of the notes that I used in Psalm 14. I'd say most of you have forgotten what I used there anyway. And so I'm using most of the notes that I used in Psalm number 14. But some commentators feel that David wrote the one psalm, the Psalm 14, early in life, and then he repenned it as Psalm 53 a little bit later in his life. But at any rate, most of them, most of the commentators, most men readily agree that this psalm cannot accurately be fixed upon any certain event in the life of David. I mean, they just fail to put it down. But I believe if we study it in its completeness, that its principles will vividly portray a man in the Bible that we call Nabal. In fact, the word fool in verse number 1 literally means Nabal. And this may give us the origin of the hymn as it was experienced in the heart of David. Now, if you've read the Word of God, you know that it was in 1 Samuel 25 that David's men was sent to Nabal's sheep shearers as they sheared sheep and made request of them that that he might give them provisions that would sustain them. They were shepherds in the field, and David hadn't bothered them. He had not his men had not troubled Nabal's shearers. They had been good to Nabal. In fact, they had protected him from predators and from robbers and thieves and criminals. And David felt like it would be no great obligation on Nabal's part to give him some provisions of food for him and his men while they were in the hold and while they were fleeing from the man Saul. But when David's men got there, they realized, or Nabal refused to give them any provision. And it just overwhelmed David. David could not understand why him being good to Nabal, Nabal in turn would not be good to him. But I want to say to you, church, that his name reveals his heart and his character. David said truly, said, Nabal is his name. He is a fool. And the Bible said that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Now, you know the story there. How God turned Nabal's heart to stone. Nabal gave up the ghost and died, and his wife Abigail later became the wife of David. But personally, I believe that that is the event in David's life that he was referring to when he penned this psalm. For truly, Nabal was a man that had no fear of God. He was a man that that said, there is no God. Now, I want to say to you, and this is just very shallow stuff, but church, a man would have to be an absolute idiot to deny the existence of a true and a living God. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we don't know where God came from. I'm going to tell you why you don't. Because there was no place for him to come from. God stepped out of nowhere when there was nowhere to come from, gentlemen. And stepped out on nothing when there was nothing to step out on. And created everything that we have in existence today. Somebody said, well, where did God come from? Who was God? God is eternal. Now, I'm going to tell you what, one of the greatest Bible doctrines in all the Bible is the eternality of God. When our little pee-wee mind tries to figure out how long God's been around, friends, it is a mind-staggering thing. You're not going to get you. You will be like the proverbial dog chasing his tail trying to figure out where God come from. God always has been, always shall be God. There never was a time when God wasn't, and never shall be a time that He is not. Now, I understand what they're teaching in the schools today, that we evolved from some form of an amoeba. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I find it easier to believe in faith, to have faith in God and creation, than to believe some cockamamie story that yonder billions of years ago with the gases out in the universe, that something just exploded and some little amoeba formed, and finally over a period of billions and billions of years began to form and grew legs and then developed into monkeys, and monkeys later evolved into men. I find that asinine and harder to believe the fact than creation. But I'm going to tell you, there are many Nabals in the land today. For the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. I'm going to say to you, I'm glad there is a God. And by the way, they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, why the fool, my friend, finally becomes reprobate is the fact that he denies the very fact of a living God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now the foolish man, some translate this word apostate. Others translate it a wretch. But the word here, like I said, is Nabal, and it has the signification of fading, of dying, or falling away as a withered leaf or as a flower. And it is a title that is given to a man who has lost his juice. He's fading away. Just like the flowers in the fall lose their sap and they fade away. Or like the trees in the fall of the year, the sap goes down and they die. Now I want to say to you, my friend, a foolish man is fading away. He's losing his juice. He's losing his sap. That man that will deny God is driving nails in his casket, amen, and is falling away and is losing his juice. He has no juice. He has no sap. This fella has absolutely no wisdom about him at all. This man has no reasoning about him at all. For the Bible said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." This man has lost the sap of his wisdom, the sap of his reason. He's lost the sap of his honesty, and he's lost the sap of his godliness. In fact, John Trapp calls him that sapless fella. He has absolutely no life in him at all. He calls him that carcass of a man, that walking sepulcher. And that's what lost men are. They're walking sepulchers. They are a body that contains a dead man. For a fool, a foolish man, is a man that is yet dead in his trespasses and sin. He may be walking about and have a body, but that body is no more than a sepulcher that holds his spiritual man in captivity until God pronounces judgment on that soul and casts it eternally into a lake of fire where he'll spend eternity there without God and without any hope. You know, that is a sad commentary. For a man to be locked up in his own grave without God and without hope. And I'm going to tell you what's sadder than that is men hear the gospel preached and they know the truth of the Word of God, and yet they reject that Bible that they might continue in their sin, rejecting God and seal their doom unto a devil's hell without God and without any hope. Somebody said, what is that man? He is a fool, my friend. A man that says in his heart that there is no God is a fool. Oh, Dr. B.R. Lakin, years ago, was a preacher. And he said he flew into Cincinnati, Ohio to preach a revival meeting. And when he got to the airport and flew in, he got out of the airport and went out and called a taxi cab and said he climbed and it was a raining. He climbed in and the taxi driver said, do you mind to share with another fella? And said he said, no, if I can get to the motel, I don't mind at all. And so he slid up in the seat, another man sitting there, and old B.R. Lakin slid his hand out and said, I'm B.R. Lakin, evangelist, and I'm in town to preach a revival meeting. And that man said, oh, you're a preacher. He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm here to tell the good news that Jesus saved. And that man looked at him and said, well, he said, I don't believe in God. Old B.R. Lakin said, well, said, you know, said, that's odd. Said, your name's in the Bible. And the man said, no, it isn't. He said, yes, sir, your name's in the Bible. And he said, my name's not. He said, yes, sir, I'm telling you your name. He said, what do you mean my name's in the Bible? He said, you must be Mr. Fool. Because the Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I'm glad this morning there is a God. And I'm glad, thank God, that He left the eternal realms of glory to condescend to take upon Himself the form of man and wrap Himself in human flesh and lay down His life on the cross that He might take it up again, that old sinners might be saved by the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. I tell you, the glories of the incarnation, that God became flesh and died for our sins. I tell you, that's more than my mind can possibly understand this morning, that God, who always has been and always shall be, wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh and took upon Himself humanity that He might die for humanity to redeem us back to Himself. That blows my mind this morning. What a God. What a God. What a God. This fella's reason is withered and dried up and decayed. That's literally what fool means. If you read back at the story of Nabal, he was an unreasonable man. I mean, even Abigail told David, said, and I'll paraphrase this. She said, please have mercy. And fellas, and this is in the Bible, so don't get alarmed. It says it about three times in a chapter. David, when his men come back and said, Nabal has refused to give us provision. David said, you wait and see if by morning light that he's got one in his camp that pisseth against the wall. He said, I'm going to kill them all, is what David said. And Abigail divinely interceded and said, please show mercy upon me and upon the rest of my household, for said, truly, Nabal is his name. In other words, Abigail said, truly, this fella is a fool and has no thought for God. Hey, that fella could not see the spirituality of David. He could not recognize the love that David had for him. He could not recognize the protection that David had given him. That's right. He could not see David's honesty and David's power. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly how a lost man is. He cannot see, my friend, the glory of Christ and the power of Christ and the love of God and the goodness of God. But I'm telling you, when my mind and heart surveys the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, my friend, I tell you, I'm overwhelmed when I consider the good love of God that He had for me in my life. What a God that would love old sinful wretches like you are. Like I am. Wicked. Ought to be in hell. Every last one of you, sorry devil, ought to be in hell. But God loved you and died on the cross to save your wretched soul out of hell. You ought to rejoice in that. Praise your heart. Thank God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Makes me feel like having a running fit. Amen. Now, stay with me. It's worthy, fellas, to notice that he does not say there is no Jehovah. He said the fool said in his heart there is no God. But what the term he uses, but that he says there is no Elohim. In other words, deity, fellas, in the abstract, is not the object of his attack. But it's deity as a covenant. It is the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. Listen now. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Lord. There is no Lord. In other words, there is no personal, ruling, governing presence of God. I'm telling you, my friend, we live in a society today. Are you listening? We live in a society today that wants a God. But they do not want a God that will rule them and control them in His presence. They want a God that they can put on a puppet and play with. They want a God like they can use like a spare tire. When they need God, drag Him out of the trunk. And when they don't need Him, throw Him back in and shut the trunk lid on Him again. And I'll run things my way. But I'm here to tell you that God will either run your life, my friend, if He's yours, or He won't have you at all. This world wants a God that they can control. Huh? That bunch of easy believism devils. Huh? This bunch of ecumenical devils running around. Amen to God. That's right. They look here. They want a God they can run. Now, what Nabal was saying, I want a God. But I don't want a God to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. Oh, Elvis said I'd done her my way, and Elvis is in hell doing it his way. I'm going to tell you where the blessing is, my friend. It's to humbly bow at the foot of the cross, submit your heart to Christ, and let God run your life for a change. Amen to God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Let God tell you what to do. Who is little bony man to stick his fist in the nostrils of God and try to tell God how to run things? Well, you're an idiot to do that. The fool said there is no God. that will rule me and govern me and control me. I'm going to tell you what. Don't take me long to read that Bible and find that God can control and rule you, will and does, if you're His. In fact, I'm going to tell you, God's yet ruling this world. He's in control. He's working all things out for His glory. And I'm going to tell you, all this mess with Hussein and insane and fish sane and Kosovo and all and Clinton and all, God is just using them poor idiots to work out His plan. That will ultimately, are you hearing me? That will ultimately subdue that crowd under His feet and glorify the saints and present you and I faultless at the throne of His grace. Hallelujah to God. God will do that. I'm going to tell you, buddy, when God does that, the fool will be laughing out of the other corner of his mouth. Poor benighted devils. Let me mention four or five things here. Got to hurry. Sunday school will be over. Amen. I want to say, first of all, they are depraved in the heart. The fool hath said in his heart. Now, you notice here, that is their principle of life. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That is a principle of life. They say in their hearts that there is no God. It is true. They did not absolutely profess. But it was a principle, my friend, whereby all their actions were regulated and which they were conformed unto. It was a principle of life. They were depraved, and that is every depraved man's principle. They are exactly like Paul described them in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. They are, my friend, dead in trespasses and sins. They do walk according to the course of this world. They do walk according to the prince of the power of the air. That is their principle of heart. And the reason they do that is they say in their heart as a ruling principle that there is no God that I have to give an account to. There is no God that I am responsible to. Oh, but my friend, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Listen to me now. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Glory of glories. While I was on that broad way that was leading to destruction, the Holy Ghost of God showed up in my life, divinely interceded, and set my feet on a straight and a narrow way. Hallelujah to God. How'd He do that, Brother Hall? I'm going to tell you, because God is rich in mercy with His great love, not just a love, His great love wherewith He loved us. Hallelujah to God. They want a God they can control, and not themselves. They're like Paul said in Romans 1:25. They have got to a place where they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That's why this crowd can jump at these basketball games and football games and hockey games and soccer games and all that. They're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Give God the praise, gentlemen. Give God the glory. Their mind is corrupt and their affections are corrupt. Their mind is corrupt. Their mind is carnal. But I'm glad, thank God, it can be converted if they'll come to Christ. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that how your mind was, Brother Ricky, when you sat over there watching the Wildcats? Corrupt, captivated by sin, carnally minded, worldly devil you was, wasn't you, old worldly devil? Amen, old worldly, sorry. Worldly had your affection set on the world. Devil had a hook ring in your nose. Some of you couldn't stay off the dance floors. Some of you couldn't stay away from the liquor store. Some of you couldn't stay out of the pool hall. Some of you couldn't stay out of the theater houses. Some of you had to chase women. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us, came to where you was in your sin, set His affections upon you, and with cords of kindness drew you into His love. Hallelujah to God.
He threw out that lasso. Begin to draw you to Calvary. Woo! Son, when he got the lasso on you, you said unto God, hey, something sweeter in this life than sin. Amen. He said, will you come unto me? And you said, I believe. Thank God I will. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Doesn't say it in the Bible, but I'm sure David said, Abigail, who do you want more, me or Nabal? She said, David, I believe I'll go with you. Hallelujah to God. Right, they're depraved in their heart. I won't say secondly, they're defiled in their life. The fool has said in his heart, depraved and defiled. Look with me at verse number 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. They have done abomination. Because they are corrupt in their minds, they become abominable in their doing. Corrupt before God and abominable before men. Did you hear what I said? Because of their minds, gentlemen. Because of the corruption in their minds, they become abominable in their doings. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Do you know why Hollywood, now Mr. Clinton is really putting on a show for American people now. Oh, we've got to do something about Hollywood and about the violence and corruption in Hollywood. But it's not been a month ago that our president sat in Hollywood at something like a $10,000 a plate dinner and took their money from them in order to promote his party in their political arena. Now, I want to say something to you, my friend, that shekels bring shackles. And he's only a spitting air. That man is not going to do nothing. I'm going to tell you what he'll do. You hear me well. He'll stir up enough stink about Hollywood that the Republican Congress and Senate will begin to enact policies to do something about Hollywood. Then him and the Democrats will fold their hands and say, it's all the Republican doings. We ain't done it. And all he'll do is stir up them to try to get his in and make him look good in the eye of the community. Huh? But you hear me well. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Hollywood. They got a corrupt mind. Their mind is corrupt. That is why, my friend, that they make movies that show killings. That's why they have movies that show violence and vice and sin and adultery and whoremongering and bloodshed. Their minds is corrupted. That's why they're like that. Somebody said, no. That's what's corrupt in America. No, no. That is not what's corrupt in America. Your corrupt, people's corrupt minds is what's corrupt in America. Yeah, that's right. You see, Hollywood is what it is because of corrupt minds. Corrupt minds are not corrupt because of what Hollywood it is. Some corrupt mind had to dream all that stuff up. Huh? You hear me well, gentlemen. You better listen to what Brother Hall's telling you. And hear me well. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm against Hollywood and television and all kinds of sin. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that Adam was a sinner without one can of beer ever being produced. Adam was a sinner without a bottle of liquor being set on a shelf. There wasn't no televisions in the world. No, sir, there wasn't no televisions in the world. And there wasn't another woman for him to lust after. I'm going to tell you what was wrong with him. He was created in innocence with a human mind that was corrupt or prone to be corrupted. And through the corruption of his mind, he transgressed the law of God and fell, my friend. He didn't have to have any other assistance to sin. He is a sinner within himself. Now, I'm here to tell you a man is a sinner within himself. That's why the fool, has said in his heart, there is no God. In essence, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did when they transgressed God. They said, apparently, the devil's right and there is no God that will enforce his commandments. Well, they knew there's a God, but there ain't no God that will enforce his commandments. Isn't that where we're living today? Oh, I believe in God. I believe in God, but
a gracious, loving God would never send anybody to hell. He's so loving and gracious. No, I know. But I'm going to tell you what He will do, my friend. You reject Him and He'll let you go on to hell because you've chosen to go to hell. All you got to do is reject. Somebody said, what I have to do to go to hell? Nothing.
Amen.
You lost, you're on your way without doing a thing, my friend. You don't have to do nothing.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Believe the gospel and be saved.
Amen.
That's right. Believe the gospel. I wouldn't stand up here and tell you you have to do anything else. I'd be a fool. Believe the gospel and thou shalt be saved. Somebody said, well, what about repentance? Surely to goodness, if you're in the house of God this morning, you're willing to turn from your sin and come to God. Surely you are. If you are willing to come and hear preaching, surely you have turned aside from your normal life to come to the house of God. I know what my normal life used to be on Sunday mornings. Tomato juice and raw eggs. Trying to soothe the stomach and calm the head. And sleeping as late as I could sleep, trying to sleep it off. And I'm going to tell you something, fellas. September the 13th, 1970, Brother Ricky Sutton got me out of that bed that morning. Hallelujah to God. Amen, I tell you. That's right, something got me out of that bed. Got me down at that little old white cinder block building in Scottsburg where I heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was there that I turned from my sin and come to God, and He met me and saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time today, boy. Woo! They're defiled in their life. They're depraved in their heart. Now, notice verse number 3. He said, there is none. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I want you to listen to this. There are those who neither understand nor seek God. They don't understand or seek God, either one. They're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're that man whose body has become your sepulcher. And that body is dying, friend. That body is dying. It is your grave. And you're already in your grave dying. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, when that body dies, that spirit which is dead in trespasses and sins will be cast into a hell of torments, for there'll never be another sunrise or a sunset. There'll never be another flower to blossom. You'll never smell another rose, hear a baby cry, or get another drink of water. Eternally confined to hell without God and without hope. Somebody said, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't understand. And you don't seek God. You seek God. Well, He may be found. That's that guy. Don't understand. They don't seek God. They're dead. Then there are those that understand Him, but seek Him not. They're wicked. You are a wicked sort of a rebel. If you sit on the pews of a church, friend, and you understand God, you understand what the preacher's saying, brush it off your shoulder, never crack a Bible to try to understand the thing about it. You a wicked hound dog. But then there are those that seek Him, but understand not. And they are fools.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, surely not. I'm not on the air. I know that we'll record this sometime, but Miss Ruth can avoid this. But I'm telling you, my friend, there's people all over the country.
Amen.
That claim to be seeking God. They claim to be seeking God. Just like I said, they understand Him not, and yet they seek Him. They're fools, my friend. That's right. Just like this crowd down here at the Victory Church, they'll crawl in down there this morning about 11 o'clock and go to babbling off in some silly, supposedly unknown tongue and get up with some singing group, and they'll jam with the lamb and rock with the flock and bump their gums and carry on in some unknown tongue and some bunch of gibberish and claim to be a seeking God. I'm going to tell you what they are. They don't understand God, but they claim to know God and seek God. They're fools. They don't know the same God I do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what God they know. They know the God of this world that has bonded their minds, and they've never believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and they're fools according to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right. Now stay with me. They're depraved in heart, defiled in life. They're devouring in their character. You ever been around that crowd? Notice what it says in verse number 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God.
Amen.
They eat up my people, just like you'd eat a piece of bread. Just like Esau persecuted Jacob. And just like Ishmael was contrary to Isaac. Are you hearing what I'm saying, friend? They try to devour the people of God. I'm going to tell you, you better hear what I'm telling you. There is religious people out there that is the most unkind, wickedest, ungodliest people in all the world. I'm talking about their teeth, my friend, is like a sharp sword. Their tongue is like a sharp sword that'll devour and destroy the people of God. They never have anything good to say about the people of God. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you, friend. I'm going to be honest. I'm just about put out with some of the Baptists I know. Under God, I'm telling you, they around here, they claim to love God and be saved and love God. And if there's ever a ministry that God put in Madisonville and put it here to stay as WSOF Radio, and you couldn't get these egg suckers around here to put a dime, they'd rather give their money to that stinking crowd down the road in that contemporary rock mess, and they wouldn't call in here and give a dime. And I'm just being honest with you. If it wasn't for General Baptist and Pentecostals, our church, that radio ministry would sink under. Amen to God. There's two or three little groups of them come in here yesterday. Looked a whole lot cleaner than most Baptists I know, and a whole lot friendlier to me than most Baptists I know. Amen to God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the so-called religious brethren in our community, their tongues, my friend, are sharp and devouring, and they'll eat up the people of God. Like they eat up bread. Old evangelist that's been here and preached right through here. Went down to Brother Ricky Whitlow's and told Brother Whitlow, said, have you heard, and this just happened, told Brother Whitlow, said, have you heard about old Brother Hall up there in Madisonville? No, he said, Gary Hall. Not Brother Hall anymore. It was Brother Hall while he was getting our money. But his brother, it's Gary Hall now. Have you heard about old Gary Hall? Ricky said, no, I mean, what do you mean? He said, well, he's done got off into hyper-Calvinism. And said, he's already influenced Joe Hite and Elliott Smith. And said he's already influenced them fellas and drug them off into fatalism with his hyper-Calvinist views. I'm going to tell you what, my friend. That egg sucker never needn't call me up here. He wouldn't know a hyper-Calvinist if he's seen one. Now, I'm going to tell you where that stuff come from. And I know I'm on tape, but I'm not on there. I'm going to tell you exactly where it come from. It's coming right from Herbert Williamson and Don Anderson. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't come in on a load of pumpkin. Them two guys is spreading that mess. Herbert Williamson has spreaded that mess all over the Carolinas and everywhere in Tennessee and everywhere he's ever went to preach. Now, I'm going to tell you why he has. Because he set his heart on that radio station and God wouldn't let him have it. And when you take a fool that says in his heart, there is no God, when he sets his sights on something and don't get it, he'll turn like a roaring lion to devour what he could not have. He can't have it. He's like a hungry lion. A fool is like a hungry lion. If they can't have what they want, they'll eat it up. They'll turn and eat it up themselves to keep somebody else from having it.
Amen. Amen, Brother Hall.
Go ahead, preacher.
You're not supposed to call names, Brother Hall. Well, Paul did. Notice what it says. Who eat up my people. With not who eat up my people as they eat bread. How often do you eat bread? How often do you eat?
Right.
Daily, friend. This is a consistent, constant, consistent devouring of this fool. Daily. I won't even read that. Yeah, I will. As pikes in a pond eat up fish. As eagles prey on smaller birds. As wolves rend the sheep of the pasture, so sinners naturally, and as a matter of course, persecute, malign, and mock the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll do it too, amen. Notice in verse 6, he said in verse number 6, oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. when God bringeth back the captive of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. He said, you have shamed the counsel of the poor. You've shamed the counsel of the poor. Notwithstanding their cowardice, it says, they put on the lion's skin and lord it over the poor. Just like Nabal puts on a lion's skin and lords over the poor people, just like David. What is David to me, Nabal said? What do I need to give Nabal, David, anything? I'm going to tell you something, friend. I watch people that's got a lot of money. They'll eat you up. They're sorry. Most of them. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, not all of them. Name me a few that you know that's got some money that they don't try to lord over you and put their little thumb down on you and tell you what you and lead you around like some little water boy. Huh? The world pretends to hate the godly for many reasons, folks. But I'm going to tell you the bottom line of it is they hate you because you're holy.
Amen.
They don't like your holiness, Sam.
Amen.
Holy Joe. Y'all heard about old Rick Vincent? What about him? Well, he got religion. He's a holy Joe now. He don't cuss anymore. Don't listen to that old He don't listen to our music no more. Well, don't he know you can have both sides of the fence? Son, you can go to church on Sunday morning and have God and listen to country music. You can hear Garth Brooks 6 days a week and go to church on Sunday morning and have a good time. No, you can't, folks.
Amen.
You can go in the energy of the flesh and play and pretend like you've got God, but you ain't going to hang on to the world and sin with one hand, God with the other hand. Will not work. It won't work. I want you to notice the last thing about this crowd. They're damned in their final estate. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Humanity fallen and debased is a desert without an oasis, my friend. It's a night without a star. It's a dunghill without a jewel. It's a hell without a bottom. That's the fool that said in his heart,
amen,
there is no God. He's doomed. He's doomed. Tell us we ought to be shouting this morning.
Amen.
We ought to just kept that shout that was in here a while ago going right on. Somebody said, well, you changed a little on your preaching. Shouldn't matter. God hadn't changed a bit. And what he done for you ain't changed. Huh? Thank God this morning. Tell us he's delivered us from sin.
Amen.
The fool, Nabal, said in his heart, there is no God. Let us answer to that. There is a God that loved me and died for me. And he's coming again with glory and power to receive me unto himself. He's coming. Let's stand up and pray.